welcome to the second hour of the Ralph Winterroth Show. I'm Ralph Kermit Winterroth II, out of Alaska, true seeker of the far north. Wherever the truth goes, I follow. And as I used to say, it was quite interesting, used to set people up, and I said, you know, I made application for the FBI and the CIA, and I got turned down on both of them, and of course some of them get a real serious look like they can't believe it, and they said, are you kidding? I said, yeah. Why? I said, I have loose lips. I cannot keep government secrets. And that's the truth. I cannot keep government secrets. I just have to spill my guts to the whole world at some point. Anyway, well, I'm going to give you a brief summary if you've just happened to came in. Oh, golly gee whiz, there's an airplane going over here low. The issue becomes of these public records. And I was talking about what these judges in the federal courts, the courts of the United States, and how can we use public records against these people, these fascists that are in power. We're an occupied country. Well, these public records, if they're a public record, are either legislative or executive, and that becomes a political question. And the courts must give legal effect to it. End of story. Because if we can't believe the public record, then they can never prosecute anybody for a crime. They can't hold us accountable, even in the kangaroo world, even in the administrative state. So the question becomes, is we have two realities out here. We have one reality, and we have the land of Oz. And they're operating in a parallel system. And Congress has created the parallel system in the land of Oz of where they are the scriptwriters and you are the actor. And if anybody knows anything about a movie, and the screenwriter can write you in or out, the screenwriter can do anything he wants if you're the actor. And that's where we are today. If you want to enter the land of Oz, they can write you out and kill you. They can incarcerate you. They can take your property. They take your money. They take your children. These are all the blessings of being in the land of Oz. If you want to step in, and the only way you can enter that portal, you must be a citizen of the United States. They just made it up. They made it up in April of 1866, specifically for the Negroes. Then they, June, then they got around and put an amendment in, and they said, well, we better put this puppy into an amendment, because if this was a United States versus Wong, said, well, obviously a future Congress might get around and repeal it. So we forced everybody at the point of gun to put it into the 14th Amendment, so Santa Claus become legit. Everybody is Santa Claus now. Everybody has a reindeer. Everybody has a Rudolph. Everybody will bring gifts on Christmas. That's how crazy this is. It's a correct analogy, unfortunately. Once you finally see all this, and that's what's so astounding, is you listen to most of these talk shows anymore, and I have great difficulty listening to them because almost everything they talk about is baloney. It's nonsense. They don't understand. And what's even more astounding is when you call in on some of these, the few that I can get in anymore, they don't want to hear. Anyway, back to the courts. How can we use these public records? So we talked initially in the first hour about the officer of the United States under Article 2, Clause 2, Section 2. And he can be appointed by and with the consent of Congress. That's the El President, El Presidente, the President of the United States. And, of course, under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, they can also can have the courts can do the appointment or different department heads. But the office, powers and duties must be created by the legislature, by Congress. And what's so astounding, you can go to the Attorney General's homepage of the United States right now, and you'll see where the Department of Justice creates its own office and officer. And I hear the music, so we'll be back in a minute.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Well, we're back from break here in Ralph Kermit Winter Road again, the second out of Alaska with the Ralph Winter Road Show. And for those that may not have got the site on there, that those that are interested, why are public records important? And there are several cases that support this, but probably Jones versus United States is right on, is probably the one that's just the closest. It's been cited a lot. Of course, it's 137 U.S. 202, and it's an 1890 case. And it clearly states that the determination that when the legislative and executive departments of any government conclusively binds the judges, as well as all other judges, because it, if they, the judges ruled otherwise, it's a political question, and they can't touch political questions. They say they can't. Okay, fine, I'll buy off on that. So if the executive legislative puts it into a public record, it conclusively binds the judges. That's what it says. That was in this case, Jones versus United States. So the obvious question, or the first thing to do, is what does the public record say? Because if there's no public record, we can't, in this, in the world, there's got to be a law. It's got to be a public record. Otherwise, there's nobody to be prosecuted. So we can use the public records, the Form 61s that all of these United States District Court judges that are impersonating Article III judges, they all have a Form 61, which you can get out of the Department of Justice. Occasionally you can get it out of the clerk of the United States District Court, but usually not, especially if they find out what you're trying to do with it. They'll claim ignorance. And a lot of those clerks don't know what it is. So that once you get that, an employee, that form is under his signature, that he's a mere employee. And as he's a mere employee, he is precluded from being an officer of the United States. The second document that that judge must have is a civil commission. That's Marbury versus Madison. The signature of the president is the evidence of the appointment. No signature, no appointment. In Alaska, we don't bother with civil commissions. We just send them a letter with no letterhead and no signature and say, hey, thanks for showing up with a black robe. Enjoy. Screw the people. Yeah, they call appointment letters out of the government. They don't even do civil commissions in Alaska. The last one was back in the early 1860s or 1960s, right after the, quote, state of Alaska, which did not become one of the several states. But they actually did a couple civil commissions because they always want to give the illusion that all of a sudden it just all kind of fades away. So anyway, so now we know the judge up there is a mere employee because he's a Form 61. We know that he's been appointed under the signature of the president as a judge of a United States District Court. Not District Court of the United States. And like I said, I have civil commissions of both when they changed it. So United States District Court. So then the next level of the connecting the evidence is where is a public record that says United States District Court. That's Title 28, United States Code, 1932. It is not a law of the United States. It is a law of Congress. Law of Congress is where Congress has plenary power, territory, possessions, district. Many cases are all these things. So the United States District Court is created in 1948. I don't know how we got there without the help of Congress, without the United States District Court, but we closed down the judicial branch and created the administrative state United States District Court. So the next question is, Article 3 says there's got to be judicial power of the United States. That's Article 1 and Article 2. For Section 1, I'm sorry, Section 1 and Section 2 of Article 3. Judicial power of the United States. Well, here's where they do a little bit of verbiage again. And you go to 132 in C. And it says judicial power of a district court is exercised by a single judge. Judicial power of a district court. Now, wait a minute. I thought we had a government with laws of the United States. And the judicial power of the United States is the third arm that has effect on this. But no, Congress is creating a statutorily made up judicial power of a district court is vested and or is exercised by one guy. The little black robed guy sitting up there in front. Says right there, there's no, and Congress cannot allocate judicial power of the United States. Can't do it. Well, of course, then the next question becomes, well, is there any case that I might read or learn something about something like this? Oh, yeah. They're out there. Supreme Court hasn't hidden it. Probably one of the very best on point is Finley versus United States, F-I-N-L-E-Y, 490 U.S., 545. 490 U.S., 545. It's a 1989 case, not that old. And this is what it's stating, quoting many, many Supreme Court cases. It remains rudimentary law that as regards all courts of the United States inferior to this tribunal, two things are necessary to create jurisdiction, whether original or appellate. The Constitution must have given to the court the capacity to take it, and an act of Congress must have supplied it. To the extent that such action is not taken, the power lies dormant. So what's that mean? The Constitution must have given it to the court. The judicial power must come from the Constitution. Well, what's in the Constitution? Our limited delegation of inalienable rights. That's where the judicial power comes from. Everyone seems to find that in Article 1 is the legislative power, the 18 or so things in Article 1 that Congress can do, a grant that's given to Congress. The judicial power is no less important. It's in Article 3. It doesn't list out all of these things because it's our inalienable rights, the limited delegation of power. In this case, clearly, succinctly states the Constitution has to give it to the court, not Congress. What Congress does is create the receptacle to receive the judicial power. They created the Court of International Trade. Everybody says, hey, there's an Article 3 court over there. I don't doubt it at all. They say it's an Article 3 court. I believe every word they say. But you got to go look at what they can deal with. Don't have anything to do with me or you. Normally, they list out all of the specific powers that they can do. So the obvious question, of course, then if they created a Court of International Trade and said it's an Article 3 court, I don't know why they don't say that over here. Title 28. Because it's not, folks. It's a ruse. It's all one big grand illusion, and they pull it off because we are uneducated. We have no knowledge of judicial power of the United States. It must originate from the Constitution. Congress cannot grant it. If Congress grants it, Congress can take it away. So they're granting the judicial power of a district court is sitting in a judge, exercised by a judge. They also tell us exactly what's going on in this court. Not the laws of the United States. No, right at the very beginning of the same little section. There are three things that judge does when he's exercising the judicial power of a district court. It says so. And I believe it. It's a public record. It says, except as otherwise provided by law, which means Congress controls it. This is why they control Section 28, Section 2201, that says this court cannot determine if you're a taxpayer. Well, now, wait a minute. How can I be criminally prosecuted? It takes two parties to have a legal duty, but we can't have the taxpayer declared by this court. Now, there's an oxymoron statement. You would think somebody would catch on to that one. We got a caller. We'll take him here. Go ahead, Gary in Tennessee.
Hello, Ralph.
How are we doing today?
Well, not really good.
Well, welcome to our fascist empire.
AT&T and Bell South merged and screwed up my email service.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently, there's no way from point A to point B, being the road out of the land of Oz, without giving up your Social Security benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing and what I have done. I get a Social Slave check and an account name that's not me. It's like I have a driver license, has no signature on it of mine. I print Winter Road, Ralph K with no period. Y'all want that? Fiction, I'll give you a fiction. It's on my turn.
Wait a minute, you lost me there. Could you repeat that slower, please?
Okay, let's just take the driver license.
Okay.
They always want a signature. Of course, the authority for the driver's license is Title 42, Section 666, Number 13, Number 2.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that a nice set of numbers? Can you think of any three other set of numbers, 666, and then Number 13, and then Number 2? I'm sorry.
That sounds like
I do much coffee today. Anyway, when they want a signature, what I do is I just print in all caps, Winter Road, Ralph K. No period. It's not an initial. It's illegal.
Because
an initial means it stands for somebody's name. You go look at your anything when they're trying to pound you with the IRS, they always leave the period off. It's not an initial.
Yep.
It just looks like. Of course, the real way to deal with that. Well, hold on just a minute, and I hear the music, and we'll be back from break, and I'll go on, and I'll tell you some of the things I'm going to be doing, because you've got a very good question. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
This is Ralph Kermit Winterud. We're back here after the break. Gary in Tennessee, and he'd ask a very interesting question about how do you deal with the Social Security. And, of course, Social Security in Section 42, Section 405, G and 8 says if you accept same, you are denied the right to any court of law. That's what it says. If you read carefully G, and then you go look at H, and H is another interesting aspect which we may get to today. But how I dealt with that particular situation, when I became 62, and, of course, they want you to sign up, and, of course, I don't have any, quote, money, I put an affidavit together and said, I am not a citizen of the United States. This is who I am. If you all want to send a gift my way, fine. If you don't, fine. I sent the affidavit in, and then somebody from the Social Security office calls up, and they want to know who I was. I said, yeah, who I am, this is who I am, and I'm not a citizen of the United States. But this was like a deposition. I know they were recording it the way she was asking the question. She said, well, what wages did you have and such and such? I said, ma'am, I have no idea. I don't know what the words mean. And we went round and around. And I said, well, do you mean I was paid in money? I mean, the government says they have the right to coin money, but I don't recall receiving any gold or silver. So we had quite an interesting little ring around. She just finally gave up on me because I'm not about to answer the question. I answered every question truthfully. But I'm not about to step into their world. If they want to donate, fine. If they don't want to donate, fine. Then I'll see them in the courts, and we'll just have a go at it, and eventually, hopefully, we'll get somewhere with it. But that's how I did it. You still there, George?
Are you collecting your Social Security check is the question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it. It's a gift.
Well, I had a funny thing. This all ties in together with the driver's license issue is that I've been endorsing my Social Security check over to the neighbor, which takes the rent out of it, and then he cashes the check and gives me the balance of it. And the bank refused to cash that check today, and saying that Social Security is no longer going to issue checks. They're going to do direct deposit, and you must have a bank account.
No,
in order
not.
To get that, I've got to get a state ID card because I don't have a driver's license, which means I got my biometrics and everything else, which is a national ID card, and I don't want that. I don't know what to do.
I'm not going to go for that national ID card. If I do, we'll do the same little game. The bottom line is we live in Babylon.
Yep.
And you can't get rid of Babylon overnight. There's just no way. I mean, Babylon touches us on everything we do.
What was the purpose of you signing, in all caps, Winter Road,
Paul? That's a good question, because it's not my signature.
Oh, okay.
In the Land of Oz, they want a fictitious signature for a fictitious guy.
Okay.
Well, that's a mark, Winter Road, Ralph K. I sign my true name, which is composed of proper nouns or proper names and Christian names.
Yeah, I do that too. That's
and it's
I endorse
in a dictionary. You will find it in the unabridged dictionaries. You will find it also in the government style manual. Proper noun, proper name is upper and lower case.
Right.
They hide it away very well. Well, if my proper name is in upper and lower case, then anything that is not in upper and lower case is not a proper noun, a proper name, and is not me. I don't argue that the all caps guy is not me. I argue this is what I am. And if you want to screw up the lettering in something that is not proper, that's your problem. That's not me.
Did they put the comma in it and all that?
No, the reason why I do that because we're in a military venue and I just do a Winter Road. You could do a Ralph K. Winter Road. Without any period behind it, and print it in all caps, it has the same effect, because I can swear on a stack of Bibles, I'll swear on my mother's grave, it is not my signature.
Well, that's one way of doing it, I guess.
Well, that's the only way that I could determine, because the bottom line is, I can't change this whole country around in one day.
Yeah, well,
and
they
sure
really
as heck can't do any good being in jail. Been there, done that.
They screwed me up. I got a Social Security check endorsed out to a guy and can't get it cashed. And God knows how many months it'll take to straighten that mess out with Social Security.
Well, I'd get a hold of my Social Security department because they're supposed to make it available to everybody because you're being discriminated against.
Yep.
And the government loves discrimination.
All right. Well, that's a partial answer to the question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, like I say, I don't have any bank accounts. I don't have any credit cards. I've disengaged as much as I can disengage, but unfortunately, I live in Babylon, and if I'm going to eat, I got to have Federal Reserve notes. I got to have something.
Yep, I understand that, but it's going to be awful hard to cash a check with no bank account, apparently.
Well, the banks take it with my passport ID that I have, and of course, that's a step in the other world. And the guy and I took that to the Secretary of the State, and he said, well, this is the way it is, and if you don't like it, don't get one.
Yeah, how are you going to eat?
Well, yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, how do you get out of the country anymore without a passport? I mean, what the thing is, that's what got me started, some of these issues. I wanted to get to the bottom of it so I can know how to correct these things. But if we don't know how we've been hoodwinked, or if we're in a war, which they're waging war on us, and we don't know the truth, how are we ever going to win?
Yeah, you're sitting on the gibbet with the hangings noose around your neck, and they just keep lowering the platform 1 inch at a time.
Well, every time these guys go into session, We are losing more constitutional rights, of which we don't even have in the fictional world anyway. So anyway, thanks for calling in, and I hear the music. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Well, we're back here for a long segment. Ralph Kermit Winterroad II, Ralph Winterroad Show, and coming out of Alaska. And we're talking about the how to use public records, these public acts, these documents, to expose what these people are doing. And I might say that some of this research material will be hitting some of the courts, criminal and civil, here in the next week and 2 weeks. So these are things that they've never seen before put together this way. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I can unequivocally tell you right now that if you start quoting the code as your defense, unless you quote the code with the subsidy regulations, where it has applications to the citizens of the several states, which you're going to find out it does not, you're going to lose. Almost unequivocally, you're going to lose. And that's the thing on this, like this IRS issue. They say there's no law. There is a law of Congress, not a law of the United States, but it's in Title 612 of the code. That's the law of Congress. And the law of Congress says if you want to play Santa Claus, if you want this gift called the citizen of the United States that we created for the Negroes, and then we hoo-hawed everybody else in. Of course, the Negroes in 1870, they said, oh, you can come in naturalized and you'll be just like the white guys, but we ain't going to tell nobody. Because we want to trap the white guys and the yellow guys and the purple guys and the brown guys and who knows what kind of guys or women or whatevers. Because we got a good thing going here. Is the Federal Reserve federal? No. Is the citizen of the United States have anything to do with the Constitution of the United States? No. Does the federal question that they created to get the citizen, the Santa Claus, through the fictional world in 1875 have anything to do with all of the civil side of the Title 28? No. Damn, it sounds good. There couldn't be all this going on and nobody catch on. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Babylon. Land of the ignorant and the stupid. Terrible thing to say, but very few people, I think, really want liberty, and that's not good. But, of course, I've got to give it. There are some that do, and very few even have any idea what liberty is all about. Not civil rights, civil liberties. Anyway, back to this good old court, how we can create this public record. Oh, I know one more thing I was going to mention here that I'm going to be doing to put into the public record, because they love all this stuff that's in the public record, all of their laws of Congress and all of their regulations that they have to give us public notice because we're being ruled by public notice, Federal Register. If it has application, it's got to go through the Federal Register to give you public notice. Of course, like I say, when you really start to understand what's going on, it doesn't have anything to do with almost us in almost any capacity. It all has to do with citizens of the United States. It's the land of Oz. But I'm going to be putting together it's going to be a style right after the Certificate of Naturalization. I'm going to renounce all of the things on there and renounce the citizens of the United States. And under the law of necessity, all the stuff that Congress is forcing me at the point of a gun and incarceration. But I am still renouncing it. And we're going to put it into a public record and tell me it's not so. And I'll give them notice. It's going to be styled exactly like the Certificate of Naturalization, which is punishable by treason. So you got to be very careful on the verbiage. And you better understand what you'd be doing. Of course, the people that that are naturalized every day, they don't even bother to read their own documents because it says citizen of the United States of America. That's your traveling citizenship to go to any of the sovereign countries called the several states. Anyway, so we can get this thing finished up before I run out of time here on these who the judges are. And these courts of the United States. And how do we do this again? Is because of public record. It's a public record, and the courts must give it legal effect because it's a political question. If they can't change the public record, so we can tie in the El Presidente that we have, called the President of the United States today, that has on his signature that it is a judge of the United States District Court. United States District Court. Now, that was changed. I have the civil commissions before the Civil War, and then I have it after they created this fictional thing and put it into the Department of Justice. There's no seal of the United States on it anymore. It's the seal of the DOJ. Of course, that tells us right there if these people do not work under the laws of the United States or under the United States, the government. But anyway, we have United States District Court. So how do we where do we go find that public record? Well, that's entitled 28. Section 132. They created a United States District Court for the district. Title 28, Section 132A. So now we can link that up. And, of course, in there, Congress creates a statutory judicial power of a district court. Judicial power comes out of the Constitution. It cannot come out of any other place. It's out of the Constitution. It is not created statutorily, because if Congress created it, Congress could take it away. Congress creates the court, the judicial power of the United States, the judicial power of one of the several states comes from the Constitution only, which is our limited delegation of power. It's our contract. This is what you can and can't do. And it comes from the document, our contract. And I see we'll stop here for a second. We've got Mark from Nevada. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello, Ralph. It's good to hear your voice and hear you on the radio. I met you very briefly, I guess a couple years ago here in Vegas when you were at the Dan Meter seminar.
Oh, yeah, right. When Dan Meter was down there. Yeah, you bet, huh?
Right, you bet. At any rate, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, this government has done everything the right way. Now, I've got a question I want to ask you. You probably already know the answer, but if you don't, then I want to show it to you. And I would like to send you some material of 2.5 decades of research have given me. What was your political status at birth?
Okay, my political status at birth comes out this way. I was born an American citizen, which means I was born with the law of the land. It's called jus soli. I was also born a citizen of the United States of America, which means I could travel to any of the several states and become domiciled therein.
Okay.
I also, being born in Kansas, was a citizen of Kansas, and I was protected under the Constitution of Kansas, being one of the several states. I think it might have made it, but I'm not sure because it was doing right a civil war. And those are my unalienable rights with a limited delegation of power. That's the three statuses that I had when I was born. I was not a citizen of the United States.
Oh, okay. Now, I understand what you're saying, and, you know, that's what I believed exactly for a long period of time.
I can prove it.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, Ralph, okay, I just asked you the question. All right, where did you say you were born?
I was born in one of the several states called Kansas.
Good. Okay. If you look up in any one of your law dictionary, it doesn't make any difference which one it is. Just look up your nationality, and I asked you a specific question. Nationality, that quality or character which arises from the fact of a person's belonging to a nation or state. Nationality determines the political status of the individual, especially with reference to allegiance. While domicile determines his civil status. Nationality arises either by birth or by naturalization. Now, that all being said, you have to go. You mentioned a few moments ago that you've been into the United States government style manual. If you were to go into the style manual, and I'd like to send it to you, you will find that if you are a native of one of the several states of the Union, you will identify yourself for all public purposes whatsoever as a Floridian, an Alabamian, a Kansian, and so on and so forth. This
I've
is
never
very,
seen that
very
before.
Important as far as what your political status at birth was. It's got nothing to do with citizenship at all. Nothing. Now, if you were not...
What section is that in the government style manual?
Okay, hold on just one second. I tried calling you on Skype, but I'm on speakers and not headphones, so I was getting the feedback. I thought maybe I could just Skype it over to you instantly as I'm talking to you. But if you hold on just a second, I'll get it for you. If you'll notice, under the rules of statutory construction, always, the sovereign... Okay, is always exempted except or unless he is specifically named in the statute, rule, or regulation. I think you'll agree with me. You have never seen a Kansian designated in any statute, rule, or regulation, federal, state, or municipal. The authority for this comes right out of the United States government style manual, and they buried it under spelling. And I will give you the place for the manual to go to.
I have the manual. What's the article?
Okay, hold on just one second. Bringing it right up. Okay, if you've got the style manual up, okay, you want to go to
because I've never heard what you're, that's one thing.
I know that you haven't, my friend.
I have heard of it, but I'll be honest, I have never researched it out, to see, you know, I've heard about Alabamian, Missourian, and, I can prove citizen of the United, like citizen of Kansas means that I have access and am protected by the Constitution of one of the several states, being the Contract of Kansas, the Bill of Rights, and all that.
Yeah, I
and
understand.
That ties me into
except,
the law.
Except that is, they got absolutely, all of that stuff has got nothing to do with you. This is how you will identify yourself for all public purposes. Okay? Uh-huh. It comes from the U.S. Government Printing Office, style
what
manual
it in?
Under the waste retrieval system. It's on page 63, and it says spelling. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, this is exactly what it says. Hold on 1 second. I'm in the process of doing the scroll. Let me go directly to it.
Mm-hmm. So that's in chapter 5.
Okay, now. Here we go, and then we'll follow it up from there.
Mm-hmm.
Page 73, section 5.22. The table beginning on page 233 shows forms to be used for nouns and adjectives denoting nationality. Nationality, in any law dictionary you look at, okay, is the political status that you had at birth, which is absolutely important. 523, in designating the natives of the several states, the following forms will be used. This is not a suggestion. It is not a may.
Okay,
this
what is it? Seven point what? Point what?
Pardon me? It's on page 73.
No, yeah, but I have the latest one, and that's not us. What's the section number?
523. 5.23.
That's what I needed. Well, it makes sense because, see, this is where the citizens of the United States cannot exist because we are not one nation. The nation has to do, like with Kansas, could be a nation because there's only one of them.
Now, I understand that, but the sovereign is never, unless he is specifically identified in any statute, rule, or regulation, okay, then it doesn't apply to him. He's always exempted from the statutes. Now, let me go a little bit further on this thing. Okay, under this section, this is how you will identify yourself in all records. Okay, your nationality was your political status at birth. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the red herring of citizenship. Number one, to be a citizen of anything, you have to be at the age of majority. You have to have the qualifications of an elector, and you have to be able to hold the office that you're voting for. You didn't qualify at birth under any terms of law whatsoever to be a citizen of anything. Your political status was that of a Kansian. Period. That's the U.S. government style manual, and that says how you will identify yourself on all public documents at all times for any reason whatsoever. Now, I'm not telling you what I said. This is what the United States government says. They had to give you the remedy. All right. Now,
well, that's very interesting. I will do some research on that because the style manual is not law, but we can sure as heck use it against them because this is the way it says here, in designating the natives of the several states, the following forms will be used. And you're right, Kansian.
That's exactly correct, my friend. Now, all you have to do, this has to do with nationality, and that's very important. Okay? Look it up in any law dictionary. That was your political status at birth.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Well, that's a real interesting thing, and what I'm going to do then is I am going to go into Westlaw, and I'm going to search all the case law and all the statutes, and I'm going to also look at some of the older stuff, and I'm going to follow up on this.
Okay.
How's
well,
that?
The next place that you want to go then is to Title 8, Section 1502. Okay, that's very, very critical. And if you hold on just one more minute here, I will go to it to you, and I will tell you exactly what that says. Now, to try to get some perspective on this to start with, I'm sure you know all about the decision made by the Pollock versus Farmers case in 1895.
Yes.
An absolutely enormous event took place after the Pollock decision in 1898. Do you know what that is?
1898.
1898, 3 years after the Supreme Court told Congress, look, we've gone through the Hilton case. We've gone over this issue before. Now, we're telling you once and for all, Congress, for all the reasons that we've got here, you cannot impose an income tax on the people of the several states without apportionment. We told you before.
Hold just a minute. Hold just a minute. I can prove what you're saying, too, but hold on just a minute. I hear the music, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Well, we're back from break here, and had some interesting information here, and I was talking to Mark out of Nevada. You still there, Mark?
I'm right here, my friend.
I did.
All right, now let's...
And they have used the word Native Kansan twice in all of the case law that's in Westlaw right now.
Okay, very good. Okay, now let's take a look at Title 8, USC, Section 1502. Section 1502, Certificate of Nationality issued by Secretary of State for person not a naturalized citizen of the United States for use in proceedings of a foreign state. The Secretary of State is authorized to issue, in his discretion and in accordance with rules and regulations prescribed by him, a certificate of nationality for any person not a naturalized citizen of the United States who presents satisfactory evidence that he is an American national and that such certificate is needed for use in judicial or administrative proceedings in a foreign state. Such certificate shall be solely for use in the case for which it was issued and shall be transmitted by the Secretary of State through appropriate official channels to the judicial or administrative officers of the foreign state in which it is to be used. Do you understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it up. I'm
now,
already
let's,
aware.
Let's get back. So we got some continuity here. My question was, what happened in 1898 of monumental importance and significance? That was the end of the Spanish-American War, whereas Spain ceded to the United States government under military occupation the entirety of the Philippine archipelago, composing of Guam, Puerto Rico, the Northern Marianas, the islands of Micronesia, Cuba, the Philippine Islands, Palmyra Island, so on and so forth. That treaty was the Treaty of Peace signed at Paris in 1898, 3 years after the Pollock decision. If you read the treaty, it goes into infinite detail. Now we get to Title IX of the treaty. It says that the people, the inhabitants of all those territories and possessions, had 1 year from the date of the signing of the treaty to go in front of a U.S. district court and declare that they were going to retain their allegiance to Spain. If they did not retain their allegiance to Spain, then the Congress shall have the power to determine their political status and their civil rights.
I would agree because that's in the territories and possessions. Yes,
that is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. Treaties are the supreme law of the land, if not repugnant to the Constitution.
That's also true.
Whole class of people under the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress. They are not free to determine either their political status nor their civil rights. Congress alone is their king and their God. There is no higher authority than Congress when they legislate for those people.
We're out of time here, and you brought up a good point, but it does also, and I'll probably continue on with this next week because, see, that's the game that they always play today is they put us under the territories and possessions where
well,
Congress
I'm
going to
show you exactly
power.
How they did it and how you appear in the records, which you already know. You've looked at 6109G under the miscellaneous section of the Code of Federal Regulations, and it tells you a Social Security number appears in the records and database of the IRS as a number belonging to a U.S. citizen or
That's
a resident.
Correct. Right. Well, we got to go here. We're running out of time, and thanks for everybody showing up.